Alrighty, welcome, 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 welcome to What'd You Think? The post-movie show where it's the drive home from the show, and you and your friends are all in the car and you're talking about how you liked the movie. As always, this is spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, put us on pause. Go see the movie. Come home, take us off pause, and listen to the show. Today we have our friend of the show, Diane.
Hello.
Who has seen Thor, the wonderful Thor, which we're fixing to review, 3 times, am I right?
Yeah, this would be today was my 3rd time, yeah.
Okay. And of course with me, the lovely Bobby Blakey.
Ha!
Cartooner, fighter, lover of life.
Oh, now you're just got out of line.
bon vivant.
There you go.
So I am very fortunate because Diane's schooled in mythology and Bobby's schooled in kickassery, and so we are qualified to cover Thor. And
yes.
And Diane, since your company, how did you think Thor measured up to the previews?
Actually, I was really, really excited through the previews, and I've been actually keeping track of this thing for a long time since I'm a huge fan of not only comics and mythology, but also I'm a big fan of Tom Hiddleston. So I was tracking this down for since its conception, I guess. And the trailers have been actually really, really pumped. And I was actually kind of amazed at how dark it was. Just like, not just like, it just had like that mood and that that atmosphere of just, this is dark and this is sinister and this is much more dark, you know, much not as light as the first one. And
yeah,
it did have that. And I don't know, should I be comparing like what is in the film to what's in the trailer? Is that what you're
trying
to
do? You can.
Well, there's scenes in the trailer that do not appear in this film.
Oh, like and what?
I believe in the second trailer, you have Loki who screams while he's completely, like, disheveled after he basically tore apart his room after knowing that, spoiler, Frigga dies, his adopted mother. And there's a scene where he just goes, he screams in this kind of silence. And that is not actually in the film. And I was actually really sad about that. And when people were talking about this film, there was talk that there was like just out of like at the Hiddlestoners, the fans of Tom Hiddleston said there's gonna be a shirtless scene. I'm like, oh, okay. I wonder how that's gonna work out. And that did never happen in this movie, and I was quite disappointed. So,
it did. It was tragically brief.
Yeah,
but he was having a wash up after one fight, and of course, you know, he's there, and he goes to turn to walk toward the window, and you're expecting to see, you know, the at least the half Monty, but no, he's got the trousers on.
Well, no, but that was Thor that had his shirt on, but people were looking forward to Loki without his shirt.
Oh,
and
no,
I was like,
not me.
Oh, I was.
You can see that. Just watch an Ethiopian ad. You can see him.
But, yeah, I actually thought the trailers were really, really good. I thought the problem is that some of the TV trailers kind of got into spoiler territory. And also another thing was people describing the Comic-Con in San Diego Comic-Con, what their previews. When I read the articles of them describing what was going on.
Okay.
In what was going on in the spoilerific trailers for San Diego Comic-Con.
Well, they actually Comic-Con's always spoilerous.
Yeah, but they actually showed like Thor's hand getting cut off, and everybody was like, and I went, I'm like, I wonder if that's going to be in there, or if that is a fake out. And apparently, it was both. I was not that surprised by that scene because of that.
Bobby, what did you think? How did you think it compared to the trailers?
I actually was pleasantly surprised because one of my problems with these movies, not the Marvel movies, but movies in general like this, when they do sequels, typically they're very afraid to push the boundaries and take the character that next evolution. They tend to repeat themselves. And the filmmakers think that audiences are stupid and that we can't relate if it's not on Earth. And with the first one, I got it because you wanted to have something to kind of bring them together and make them understand and bring that Earth connection so you have a reason to bring it back for the Avengers and blah, blah, blah. But the next evolution was obviously to let us see Thor in his world, mm-hmm. you know, and do most of the Thor comics, you know, it was in Asgard stuff, you know, especially the Walt Simonson era was just, this whole movie just made me think of the Walt Simonson era of Thor, just the designs and everything. But I, watching the trailer, the movie I got from the trailer, I was very happy with, because I watched the trailer and I'm like, this looks awesome, but I'm concerned I'm going to go there and they're showing me all the cool stuff and it's going to go back to Earth for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of trick everybody. But I was actually pleasantly happy that it went the direction it did, and darker tone, even though it had some lightheartedness, it maintained getting darker with the storyline.
I agree with you, because I did like that it was a bit more dark, a bit more serious, and from what I could see, it doesn't look like they were treating me like I didn't remember the origin that they told me in the last one. And also that I was a little bit concerned that it would lose the moments of humor. And I was pleasantly surprised that you still got slash humor that were actually funny.
Well, I like that they used that, because with this film, obviously it's a sequel, and it has mm-hmm. a continuation of the first film, and it has hints of the Avengers stuff, but still maintains as a standalone film.
Yeah.
You know, and in the humor aspect, you knew the humor was going to be with his relationship with Loki, because that's a given. That's just how Loki is.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was very clever with the residual effects to the Doctor from Loki's thing from the Avengers, making him kind of loopy, which provided a lot of the humor, you know. So it wasn't so much of, well, that makes total sense aspect, as opposed to just trying to force the funny on you.
Right, right, exactly. And I thought it also played into what you were expecting, how you expected certain things out of the storyline to go. Like when they had the confrontation, and he, of course, betrays him and stabs him and cuts his hand off, and you're like, oh man, just totally walked into that. But it was a bluff out, and I appreciated that. I thought that was great.
See, but did anybody really... See, and I'm amazed anybody fell for that, because
I did.
I totally did not fall for it. I was like, okay, here's their plan now. Loki's going to turn around, you know, and I wasn't sure what direction they were going to go, if it was going to be Loki made him switch places, or if it was going to be Loki just made his hand, made it look like he did it, you know, or what the plan was. But knowing Loki does all these, makes other versions of himself and, you know, disappears stuff, I was like, okay, we're not going to cut off Thor's hand, because it's silly, you know, unless they're going to go into another aspect where Odin gives his hand back with his powers, and then I was going to be irritated.
The thing is that when that happened, that was mostly for shock value, and it's really for the concept for the Dark Elves to see, and to see confrontation, and just, it's a distraction. That's all.
I understood it for the story.
I understood.
I think it should have been handled. I know they really did a decent job trying to make you buy it.
Yeah.
But I think they had already established too much of them, even though Loki's still a douchebag.
But we love him that way.
Yeah, and he has his own agenda, clearly, all the way up to the end, and everybody knows he does.
Yeah.
They had added too much of the personal attachment starting to happen beforehand for him to suddenly do it the way they did it. It seemed too rushed, so I didn't buy into it near as much as if they had just stayed angry and constantly fought about it all the way up until that point. Then he turned on me, you're like, yeah, kick his ass, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, well, I mean, and I'm actually, no, I never bought it, and because I know Loki. You might as well have him, like, what is it? I'm kind of like twirl his little mustache and everything. So,
did you buy Loki's death?
Me, no. But a lot of people did.
I will say this. I bought into that for only one reason, and it was because, and I don't know if either one, I'm sure you probably saw it, but there was an interview that he did on the red carpet where he started crying.
Oh, yes. he did that.
But I thought about that because the guy told him, this might be your last red carpet premiere.
Yeah.
I started thinking, oh, crap, they really did kill him off, and that's why he's so upset, because he can't do it anymore.
<You
know>? So I bought into it for about a split second of that, and then I'm thinking, okay, it's stupid Marvel, and Loki dies at every four issues of every book he's in. So.
Yeah.
And if he's going to die from getting stabbed, but he doesn't die from falling into the universe, then we got a problem.
Well, Diane, what was, or did you have any nitpicks? or things they could have done better?
Well, the things that I really just nitpick is just, it's really just kind of like more the obvious things. It's kind of like you knew that his death was fake, and it was kind of obvious when you first saw the guard, and there was already green. You saw that green glow, and I didn't see the purpose of the guard, you having basically almost like a Groucho Marx moment, where he pretty much like waggled his eyebrows at the camera. I didn't see you needed that, but I guess they wanted to put it there.
Yeah.
But I understood it on mostly on just like Loki standing, because he kind of wanted to see Odin's reaction to that to his own death, basically. And another thing that I think nitpicking, mainly because I think it's Odin in the very end, before Loki reveals himself, because the body language is completely Loki. If I don't know if you guys ever noticed that, because when Odin actually sits on his throne, he is always dead center. When Loki sits on it, he sits in a corner.
He's jaunty.
While I agree with you, and I noticed it as well, because Loki always sits that way, I don't think most people would notice that, because you remember they destroyed majority of the throne.
Yeah.
So yeah, it could have been just rocks on his butt, like rubble.
That's true.
He's getting stabbed. You know, it's like you have like, you know, you're getting sitting uncomfortable. He's got like, I gotta look cool. This is really uncomfortable, but I'm king. I can't look like a puss. I'm king. I can't be.
Yeah.
Where's my scribe? Bring me my royal broom.
Or it's like a chair when you feel like one of the legs is just about to break. You kind of list over the one side.
Yeah. You lean to one side, or you get up and you let somebody else sit there and say, "What did you do to the chair?"
My chair, it's all lumpy. It's all lumpy. Oh, there's a rock there. There's a rock there. You know, there's a head there.
one of my issues with the film, and this is, it's kind of like you with nitpicking, and it's really not an issue. It's more of just, I think, funny. Is I was discussing it with somebody else, and actually did a review for it with someone else, but we talked about this. It's like, you know, you have Thor doing his thing, and you've got these cataclysmic events destroying the entire universe.
Yeah.
And not a single Avenger shows up.
Yeah.
I was like, these are the worst superheroes I have ever seen.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, if you flip it, you go through, you know, the comic book, they only team up in Avengers, and then he'll have 50 issues by himself. And it's now made me think, like, where are all these people doing in these comics? It's like, these are the worst heroes if there's everybody attacking all the time and they have no downtime. Yet we go to them and they're on a date or they're out to eat. And I'm like, do you realize there's dark elves destroying half of London and you're eating a sandwich? You know, get off your ass and do something to help, you know?
At the very least, Iron Man could have shown up. He's probably out farting around, who knows where.
I decided.
He's probably drunk.
Okay, here's my decision. I've decided that Iron Man 3, Captain America Winter Soldier, and Thor all happens at the same time. That's why they can't help each other.
Oh, okay.
They're all busy, and Banner is walking the street somewhere.
Well, he's apparently
He's hiding from the reporter.
He's sleeping.
Well, Banner's Mr. Collateral Damage. It's like, do you need some help? No, we're good. We're good.
He's out now erasing himself from the net again and trying to find another weird back country to hide out in, because that worked so well the first time.
Yeah. Maybe he's in Antarctica. Maybe he's there. Yeah,
looking for aliens and predators.
I like that movie. Shut up.
Well, my nitpick is, as with most movies, like, you know, you're in the middle of a very populated European city, and all the only people around who are the cops that are immediately involved and the individuals who are immediately involved. There aren't people just wandering, you know, down the street or driving by and stopping to gawk and take pictures and stuff.
I think
this weird mess that's going on.
I think that thing when it started coming into from the you know, when it became transparent and started destroying the city, I think that enough people could see it far enough away that they decided that they would just stay away. And those clothes were probably getting wiped out pretty fast. You know, and of course, when the police put up that little plastic tape, nobody can get in there. So
yeah, that stops many people.
That magic plastic tape.
Explain to me why trespassing is such a big deal under those circumstances.
Look, because you have to understand is one thing they were very smart about when they choreographed the fight between, you know, the Malekith or however you say his name and Thor was they made sure that they never landed outside that tape, because if they did, they'd have been screwed. Because if Thor had landed on the other side of that tape and the elf guy's in the center, Thor couldn't have fought him anymore. You can't cross that. we'd have been screwed. You say, oh man, but next time you go to a crime scene, see if they let you pass.
Well, no, they will tackle me down. That's what they do.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you know why? Because it doesn't matter how big your hammer is, how big your cape is, what kind of dark powers you have, that pass set, that tape what, says, do not cross.
What does that tape say?
Do not cross.
Cross. Do not cross.
One thing that I was proud of, though, I must say, is the last Thor movie. I never wanted to see his girlfriend again.
Really?
Because it just, I don't know, it just kind of hit this kind of...
That's Jane?
Yes.
It's Natalie Portman. You shut it up.
I don't...
I had to listen to your Hugh Jackman conversation. You're going to suffer through Natalie Portman.
Well, Padme was getting on my nerves.
As Padme, I'd agree with you, but as Jane Foster, she was awesome.
but she really redeemed her... The character really redeemed herself, in my eyes, in this movie. She was a lot better written than just a femme fatale, and so I was pretty happy with that.
So no, but the thing is that Jean was kind of was just a slob really in the first one, and
whoa.
No, she was.
Watch her, it now.
No, she was. She kind of like if you looked at like the state of her trailer and everything, she had like just like food inside cabinets that was still being cooked.
That's called being a genius.
Being a genius. That's true. That's me being a genius.
You look at any movie, TV show, and anytime they go to a lab with a genius, there's crap everywhere because apparently they're so smart they don't understand the concept to put shit away.
Apparently I have that flaw too, but oh man, I'm worried about that. So maybe that's how they feed their lab rats.
Exactly.
So, maybe that's how they do it. But the thing is that she was very, of course, that way, and then she was here. The thing is that I'm glad that Darcy really kind of like redeemed herself in this one, because she never really did anything in the first movie. I liked her in the first movie, but she didn't really do anything. So
yeah,
she was kind of there.
She had this whole air of, I wasn't even supposed to be here.
Yeah,
but I actually think if they had done any more with them in the first film, like I actually, you know, I agree with what you're saying for the most part, but I actually think they were perfect for the first film, because the whole point of that was that whole fish out of water, and they're seeing this crap for the first time. So if they had done this with them in the second movie, I would have had the problem with it.
Yeah.
Because at this point, nobody knows Thor. People barely know Iron Man. They barely know Captain America. You know, it's not until the Avengers that everybody's like, oh, crap, now they're everywhere, you know. Yeah. And so that first film, you had to have them kind of out of place. And her, you know, I forgot her name. You just said it, and I don't even remember. But you know, she's not supposed to really do much other than help Jane. She's her, you know, her assistant. Which you know, the only reason she got more in the second film, in my opinion, is because she's got a hit TV show, so they decided to give her a bigger part.
Yeah, but, that's true. But she's awesome in that show.
Yeah, but I agree. I think they're way better written than this, and I like that they flipped the story and now made, you know, took Jane and made her the fish out of water.
Yeah.
But it had a very valid point to why the Avengers don't show up to Asgard to help, because it was very clear that Odin didn't want her there just because she was a human. It didn't matter, you know, that he loved her or anything else, you know, it was because, hey, they're not supposed to be here, we'll handle our own damn problems. And I think if anybody had showed up, Odin would have thrown them all out.
Yeah, I think so. You're talking about a fish out of water. They did do a little bit of a nod to the first movie when Thor's back down on Earth, and it's reminiscent of when he's learning the whole manners, you know, the local manners. Is he goes in the front door and apparently finds the hammer hanging spot.
That was the most brilliantly under. I think that is going to be the most underrated scene of that whole movie, because it's those little subtleties. that while it's obviously was meant to be for a laugh, but it also actually, whether it was intended or not, it shows that he has some kind of a decor and respect for other people's property, you know, and come in and there's certain things you do. Again, it's like, unlike the geniuses that can't clean them up for themselves, you know, where he breaks your cup after drinking it because that's how they show respect. Yeah. Give me more. He walks in, he sees people's shit hanging up, so he's like, "Whoop! I guess I should hang my hammer there." You know?
And I'm amazed that thing didn't fall down, but I suppose that coat rack was worthy. So.
There's little things like that that I always give shit to, but that I was really hoping that I was hoping it was going to pull that rack off the wall. But
I guess his placing it there made it worthy.
Well, her home was worthy, you know. I think one of my biggest issues, one of the biggest issues in reality that I really had of the whole film was I never really felt a danger with the villain. You know, he was a big thing and there was danger to the world, but he just didn't come across very threatening to me. You know, it was almost like he was just
Malachi?
The Malekith or however you say his name.
Malekith?
He was like, he should have been the secondary guy and let his right-hand man who was doing all the damage and was threatening, you know, I thought he was a way better villain than the leader, you know, and
his weakness was being a micromanager.
Well, yeah, he would just show up, yell at people and say, "Y'all do something," and he'd walk away. and then when you get to the end of the film, they have their fight. It's a cool fight. But what he's punching him and he's doing, but he really just gets his butt handed to him and shoots the lasers every few seconds and then he's gone. It's like, this might be the laziest villain I have ever seen. he does absolutely nothing. He literally does nothing. He does more. If they had acknowledged it, I think it would have worked better. But you know, he's like a total badass when he's torturing Jane. Thor gets there. He suddenly calms the hell down. You know, and he's more like, "I will stop you." You know, Jane, he's like, "Ah!" You know, Thor's there, and he's like, "Hello, Thor. I'm taking you down." You know, it's like, come on, man.
Just because I can.
Well,
but
Loki still ended up being the better villain in the movie.
We held out for the cookie and then the ultra cookie at the very, very end.
I
absolutely loved both. Can we talk first about the collector? And Diane and Bobby, if you could school me about the collector, because I don't know about him.
To be honest, I don't know if she knows much, but I know him very briefly. I was never a big fan of I wasn't even a fan of Thor, to be honest, but I was never a big fan of the Guardians and a lot of the space stuff. So
is where I come in.
Yeah, I know of the character. So I'm a fan of Benicio del Toro. That's all I can tell you.
Oh, well, who isn't?
The collector, really, I don't recall him really in any of the comic books. I think he's a kind of a character that has really either has been in one comic, because I've never read it.
He's a character who had a really great collection.
Yeah, he's a character. But the thing is that I never recalled him in any of the comics, and I never could. When people said that there was going to be the collector, I went, "I don't know who that is. Is that any closer to the collector from DC Comics? I don't know."
I hope not, because there's going to be some copyright infringement issues.
There could be. Well, there's, you know, Captain Marvel. Might as well. So,
The only thing I know of him is that he used to collect, like, characters. Like, he would take them, if I remember correctly, he would, like, take them and then add them to his collection. But I don't know anything past that.
Yeah, but that's pretty much all he did, as far as I know. And I know, but for Guardians of the Galaxy, he's the one who's supposedly, for the cinematic universe, he's going to be the one who created Rocket and Groot. So that's what apparently they're saying. So
what she handed over was supposed to be one of the aspects of the Infinity Gauntlet
it's supposed to be an Infinity Stone gem.
They basically said that the Aether was one of the Infinity Gems, the Tesseract was another Infinity Gem, and there's like, what, four or five more that they've got to get for the Gauntlet, which they showed the Gauntlet in the first Thor movie.
Yes.
So, but what they've said is, obviously that's going to be a big part in Guardians, but I don't think they're going to be doing the Infinity Gauntlet stuff for till much later. I mean, it may end up being Avengers 3 before we even get to that.
Thanos is not going to appear until Avengers 3, so...
No, Thanos is going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy. They've already said that he's going to be a part of it, but he's not the main villain. Ronan is, who works for Thanos. So he'll still be a part of the movie. They just said he's not going to be... You know, the villain.
A main villain. But I know that they're trying to make him a main villain for Avengers 3. That's the big deal, apparently.
Yeah, so. they keep changing that, too, because they said that he was going to be the second one, and then they changed it and did Ultron, and then they said, no, he's going to be in Guardians. So I don't believe anything Marvel says until the movie comes out at this point.
Well, they keep changing it. Might as well.
Because, you know, they even give the little hints with Avengers talking about death, you know, who he's in love with, which is supposed to be kind of the point of that statement, and... Problem is, my biggest problem with doing things like this, it's cool for us that get it, but it made, like, that after credit scene, it actually felt out of place to me. While I thought it was cool, because it was the Collector and it was Benicio del Toro, and you know it's connected to Guardians of the Galaxy, and that was kind of the lead-in for that, it didn't feel like it fit in the normal Marvel universe. It almost felt like a really bad sci-fi channel movie. You know, his makeup, because he looks nothing like the Collector in the comics.
Makeup could have been better.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, as far as I know, he doesn't look like...
He looked like David Bowie to me. Did everybody say that?
It probably would have worked better if they'd gotten David Bowie to play him.
Well, the cookies for me, I consider just to be a gift to fandom.
Yeah.
And I'm at peace that if I don't understand who they are or what's going on, because that means I just have to track down a fan to explain it to me.
Well, my problem with it is, like, I appreciate it. Like you're saying, I totally appreciate you're giving stuff to the fans. But the problem is you're creating this universe, and you're wanting to create it for everybody. So it's got to have some semblance, to me anyway, to make a little sense. Like, you got the Avengers Initiative statement. You got the Thor's Hammer statement. This one's been the most obscure one, I think, so far. And a lot of the fans could care less about Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, I know more people that, like, I could care less about this Guardians of the Galaxy. It's going to suck and this and that. And they'll be the first ones to see it. Don't get me wrong. But it up until recently, it was my least one that I cared about as well. But and I think putting something out that's completely oblivious, especially I didn't really like that they had Sif and the other guy bringing it. I know it was supposed to connect it, but that just seemed out of place for them to be doing it.
Yeah. I figured that if anybody's going to deliver it, it's going to be like, I don't know.
It should have been like Thor or Odin.
Yeah.
Or somebody with it, you know. Unless we're going to find out that Odin doesn't know and Thor doesn't know that they're giving it away, then, you know, then I can see more trouble for Thor 3.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you think that?
I think Thor 3 is going to be about being hoarding, and they're going to go to stop the Collector because they think he's a hoarder.
Have you heard anything about, like, the original cookie? The original post-credit scene was not Iron Man 3 was actually taken away and replaced with the Banner scene. Now, the original Iron Man 3 post-credit scene was actually supposed to be Guardians of the Galaxy. So that's what they were supposed to say, but they said that it was Tony going into space and basically meeting the Guardians. That's what apparently was supposed to be, but they said
really?
That's what they said. And then they said, well, that would be too obscure. Mm-hmm.
I never heard anything about that, because at the time they were shooting Iron Man 3, they didn't even have Guardians and stuff fully cast.
Yeah,
they were still working on it. So
yeah, that's what, like, really puzzled. But apparently that was what they said was going to be in the secret.
See, and I think for these cookies that, like I said, I think they're fun, but I think they should have something to do with the movie you're watching, or
what
something.
Did you think
pretty
about the last one?
I loved it. I thought it was awesome because it leaves you hanging, like you're not going to get that. You're going to have to wait to see if they're going to get together again,
yeah.
And then it comes back and it caps that film off and ends it. So, like, if we come back to the next one, we don't have to talk about her anymore if we decide not to. We know they got back together.
Yeah,
you know, and that one during the screening I was at actually got a cheer.
Yeah,
because they came back, and not for the kiss. It cheered when she's sitting there with their cereal, and you see the flash of the sun. They're like, "Woo!" And it was guys. I'm like, "Really, dude? Come now." it's like we all knew he was coming back. He's not a douche. Come on, he's not Loki. but everybody's screaming, like cheering and clapping because he came back, and it made the movie end, because that's really the scene that should have been the end of the movie.
Yes.
You know, but they leave you hanging through the credits, and. You know, anytime you have to sit through these damn credits with anything with CGI, you're there for an hour and a half to credits. and he gave you something that's worth your time.
Yeah. But I was so happy. I was really happy that it does show him coming back, and it does give you closure on that, because I don't know. I was probably one of the ones clapping.
I have a theory. Well, it's not a theory. An idea of what they should do with part three, if you'd like to hear it. Now that he's back.
Okay.
You know they had the Easter egg in the first film of that whole Donald Blake thing being her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, in the comics, Donald Blake turned into Thor because he found the little walking stick. And I think the third movie should be something to do with the possession, and Donald Blake is fighting to try to get back with her, and he ends up getting the sting, and now he turns into Thor, and now there's a complicated relationship of she's in love with Thor, but she's got to live with Donald Blake if she wants Thor.
Oh, God.
That's messed up.
That would be awesome, especially if like they were like mid-relations, and all of a sudden he changed back to Blake, and Blake's like, ha-ha! That'd be awesome. I would watch that movie every day.
Overall, give us your feelings about the movie and rate it from 1 to 5, whatever hammers or whatever you want to use.
All right, I see. I'll give it a 4 out of 5. I'll at least give it that. I liked it a lot. Of course, I've seen it like 4 times, so I must have liked it a lot. But 4 or 5 times. No, it's 3 times.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's 3 times now because I just keep bringing friends over. That's why. It's like, hey, you want to watch this? Oh, great. All right. So,
don't lie. She owns Marvel stock. Don't let her fool you.
I've seen it 3 times. And there's a good chance I'll probably see it more because apparently a friend of mine wants to watch it too. And I'm like, okay, they want company. So apparently I'm coming along. So, but I'll give it 4 out of 5. I liked it. So,
cool.
I liked it better than the first movie, actually. So, but just because of who I am, I unfortunately read a lot of spoilers. But that's just me.
Well, Bobby, when you score it, also tell me how you rate it. It's kickassery because it had quite a bit in it.
I actually give it about a 4.5, and I'm gonna say something that will probably be irritating to a lot of people.
What?
It has now become probably my favorite of all the Marvel movies, including Avengers.
Really?
Because I think it had more. Like Avengers was cool, but you know, there's a lot of downtime in Avengers, and this one felt like Thor come off the comic pages to me. Like I said, with the Simon stuff, especially, I wanted that medieval vibe to it, the darkness of it. Still had the comedy. It had everything that I really wanted the first Thor movie to be. And for somebody who isn't a fan of Thor, and even after seeing the first movie, you know, I like him in other appearances, but I don't really care. I actually really dig the character now because of that. not so much that I'd buy the comic, but I really, really enjoyed that movie and could see myself watching it. As far as the action goes, I thought the action was not only really well done, but it was cleverly done.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially when you get too much CGI going, it's hard to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of, like, per se choreography fighting because it's all smash and throw, and and that stuff can get monotonous. So I really was impressed with the way they tried to keep things fresh as it went along, you know, using the portals for them to fight and get thrown around, letting the hammer fly back and forth, trying to find him, you know. And,
oh, that was great.
Yeah. And, and I thought that, you know, and at the same time, sticking to him smashing people and not letting Thor suddenly get, you know, overwhelmed all the time, which they tend to like to do with these characters. As soon as they take him to the next film, they're like, suddenly he can't be beaten by anybody. And oh, suddenly this one guy can smack him around. And you know, I like that they were letting us see some wars. They were letting us see that Asgardians be Asgardians. And just as a whole, I really, really dug the movie.
Oh, cool. I agree with really everything you both said. I love the fight. I thought I was going to get tired of fist fights in an environment where we have lots of a big variety of weapons. You know, we use a lot of ways to kill people. And really, it's, you know, it's come down to a fist fight. No one even has a knife. But like
Loki did.
like Bobby said, it worked, and it didn't look all CGI, and it fit. It fit the circumstances, and it was a good balance between kicking butt and moving the storyline along. What always is an automatic star for me is things did not grind to a halt for us to either have sex or talk about our feelings. So I was very happy about that.
I was upset about the lack of sex, but just saying.
But I think that they had a good solid relationship without having to grind everything to a halt.
Yeah.
And I give it 4 out of 5 stars. I really enjoyed it. Plus, yeah. I know, other than the movies, I know absolutely nothing about Thor. And I didn't feel like I was a guest in somebody else's house. I feel like I understood the character in my mind enough to really enjoy his interaction with the rest of the world in the film. So, yeah, 4 out of 5. Maybe 4.5.
I'm really surprised. Knowing your track record, I'm really surprised it got that high of a score, but since it was such a short topless scene.
Yeah.
Now, before you cut off, has anybody heard about the whole situation with that scene, that he was uncomfortable with that?
No, tell me.
Yeah, there was an interview with him that he didn't want to do it. There was no need for it to be there, but the director wanted it there. And so it was basically like that that gratuitous nude shot that you normally get from a chick, but you got it with Chris Hemsworth. And he was
That's so funny, because in the commentary for the first movie, when they asked him to take off his shirt, he'd be like, yeah, okay.
Oh, he was all gung-ho in the first one, because he's like, I worked my ass off. I want everybody to see what I look like now. But he said there was no point in that scene, and there isn't. There is absolutely no point in that moment. Yeah. But I know it's him pondering over a bath, which don't we all?
Wiping the blood off him, I guess.
It was just eye candy for you guys and myself.
Yeah, well, he was just amazed that he was just so yummy.
Oh, I know. I couldn't concentrate on the movie.
I'm sorry, I wanted my Loki. So I wanted my Loki. So
I really liked the scene with Loki where Thor's gone down to see him in the catacombs, and he stands up against the window and he's being a real dick, and Thor calls him on it, and he's in the back just disheveled and completely trashed.
And, well, see, and I think that's one of the reasons they cut out that scene you were talking about earlier with him screaming.
Because they
didn't want to, I don't think they wanted to expose his emotional mentality that early in that part of the story.
That makes sense.
It's good for the trailer to suck you in, but yeah. I think it would have slowed things down, because you would have already known that he really was upset, as opposed to I don't give a crap like he acts.
Yeah.
And extra points, too, for implying that he learned all of his sorcery from Mom. Because he didn't get it from Dad, that's for sure.
No.
And he didn't just dream it up on his own. I thought it was brilliant that he got all that from his mother. And that alone would make him truly attached to his mom as opposed to his dad.
Well, and they let her use it later in the movie, so you see it.
Yeah.
They even implied it in the first movie that was so, too. That he was very much a mama's boy compared to, because he was never really a daddy's boy. That was Thor.
Well, that's because he has such a girlish figure. I didn't get to say it earlier when I was talking about the fighting. I want to give big props, because I mean, Rene Russo has done a lot of stuff before things, but her fight scene was awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm sure most of that wasn't her. And I personally know a lady that has stunt double for her numerous times. So I'm gonna go find out if it was her or not. But whether it was her or not, the choreography for that one sequence was really, really well done.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it really lets you realize that she may be queen, but she wasn't just the pretty face that married the king. She earned her spot.
Well, yeah, she's definitely not a pretty face. She's got like a square head.
Aww.
Well, I'm a fan of her as an actor, but never a fan of her having a look at her. It's kind of a double-edged sword there.
Ouchie.
Wow, she was like a model for quite some time when she was young.
There's been a lot of those.
There's a lot of those.
That kid from the new guy, the star of that weird looking kid, was a model too, so if that tells you anything. So
what weird kid?
The kid that's the star of the new guy, that's got the big ears and the dumpy nose and really strange looking. He's been in you'd know him if you saw him, but trust me, you wouldn't look at him and go, I bet he was a model.
Well, Diane, I want to thank you so much for joining us for What'd You Think, and we really appreciate having you. And Bobby, as always, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Thank you for inviting me very much. I was mostly in the background just listening to you guys.
Diane, do you have a website or anything in particular you would like
to promote? I have a DeviantArt. That's about it.
We'll go
DeviantArt
for it.
And my Facebook. My Facebook is actually Tranimation. It's T-R Animation, spelled just as is. And because I used to work for Disney and all that. But my DeviantArt is tranimation-art.deviantart.com.
Cool.
So,
cool.
That's where you go see my stuff.
Well, Blakey, where are you? Where can we find you?
Well, we pretty much established that no one wants to see me, but if they suddenly find that one person that does, I have my.
I was being polite.
Yeah, no. I live in the real world. My if you want to check out my webcomic, it's www.laststopcomic.com. I write for the Dallas Examiner. It's examiner.com. Just look up my name. And obviously contribute to these silly podcasts. I mean, these awesome podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
And numerous artwork for Mr. Jedi Cole for his universe that I've been forced into. And please save me. I am being held prisoner.
Hey, Attica.
Thanks, everybody, and good night.